Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
That is me. All right, the NFL playoffs are set. The bracket is set for the NFL postseason. I do love a good bracket. Number one overall seed in the AFC is the Kansas City Chiefs. They went 15-2.
God, it's so gross that you can lay down like that.
Well, to the Broncos?
God.
Dude, nobody was beating Bo Nix yesterday. they tried to put nobody on the field.
I was saying, there were three players away from you and I being eligible to play. That was bad.
Dude, Bo Nix starting that game, did he go 18 for 18 out of the gate? I think he completed his first 18 passes.
I think
passes.
That's right. They said something about the most consecutive passes completed for a rookie.
That is really damn hard to do against air. I mean, there was some defense out there, but he finished the game 26 of 29, 321 and four touchdowns. That would be, for those counting at home, more touchdowns than incompletions for Bo Nix. Pretty good little game, but 38-0 and a blowout. Nope, Patrick, I don't want to even go down the list of guys that weren't playing because there was
so many people gone. Does Cortland Sutton send like a $5,000 watch to each player on the Chiefs defense that day? What does he do? Like, he has to do something for them.
Well, you're talking because he got a hefty bonus out of the deal. I believe it was $250,000 or no, $500,000.
Yeah, his was bigger.
Holy guacamole. Yeah. He got a half milli bonus.
Cause he wasn't close.
He was 85 yards and he ended up with 98 on the game.
85 is
probably. You probably give him a little something.
That's not impossible. That's also not like a given.
But the Chiefs rolled over. Now they're going to have, again, do you see what their layoff is for their starters that didn't play? 25 days.
Good God.
So this goes back to the difference between pros and college, and there's a lot of people, you know, complaining about Oregon in the layoff. And well, really, you could say this for all of the teams that got a bye, because all of them lost in the college football playoff. But everybody's saying, you know, oh, that layoff is too long. It's the exact same.
It's longer.
Is what the
25 days
Chiefs are going through. And so you look at it in those terms and you go, well, that's the difference between being a pro and being a college athlete still and getting used to those long layoffs when another team doesn't have one quite as long. But 38-0, the Broncos win.
When's the last time a team had less than 100 yards of total offense? Because that's what the Chiefs did.
Oh, I bet it would be more recent than you think. I bet the Panthers did it this year.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, there was like a Bryce Young game where he threw for like 67 yards. I think that was the one before he got benched.
Yeah, I don't know, but Carson Wentz was not great.
He was not good, but also he was under duress.
Oh. Do you know the NFL record for the fewest all-purpose yards in a game?
No.
The Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, no.
Back in 1979.
Oh, God.
Against the Rams had negative 7 yards.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, that's that would be
that's obviously pre-Largent Seahawks. Is that the Dickerson? 79 is the Dickerson Rams, isn't it?
No, that is not. Because he was the Pony Express in the 84 or 83. The Broncos had negative 5 back in 67. I'm looking more recently.
God, that was a 9-7 Rams team. It wasn't even like a great Rams team.
Hey, we had the 2021 Chicago Bears had 47 yards of offense against the Cleveland Browns and somehow scored 6 points. That's incredible.
Oh, my God.
How about that?
Pat Hayden was the quarterback.
The 2023 Arizona Cardinals had 58 yards, and they lost also to the Browns. Dude, juggernaut Browns.
This is... Oh, okay. You know what? They did have Jack London.
So that was just last year. Okay. The Arizona Cardinals had 58 yards, November 5th, against the...
And that's early. And that's early in the season,
November 5th.
Yeah, it's not like it's, I'm not saying it's not the end of the year. Late.
Yeah, that's not good. Not good.
God. Well, that Browns team last year defensively was an absolute buzzsaw.
So I can say with confidence, last year was the last time a team
had less than 100 yards.
Less than 100 yards, and they had 58.
What did they finish with? Was this 98?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeesh.
They pulled the ripcord on that game. They weren't trying to win it.
Clearly.
Chiefs are the one seed. The Detroit Lions are the one seed in the NFC. They had, and that was a game that had everything on the line yesterday. That was the one game that everybody was frothing at the mouth for because you had the final game of the regular season. Everything comes down to the number one overall seed, two divisional foes, Minnesota. They snatch up 1,900 tickets to Ford Field, which is awesome, by the way. Mm. That is great. The Will family going and buying. Did you see this story?
Mm-mm.
So the Vikings ownership, they went and bought 1,900 tickets directly behind the Lions or the Vikings bench, mm-hmm. and they sold them at a discount to their season ticket holders.
That's pretty dope.
So they said, "You guys, you know, if we want to have fans in a game that means everything, we're going to make sure we have some."
Because the Lions fans turned out for that game.
Yeah. And that's where I go back to, there's not, like, we talk about bad sports towns a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's not bad sports towns. There's bad franchises mm-hmm. in sports towns. And that is why
Detroit fans give a crap.
They do give a crap.
Like when the Pistons are good, when the Red Wings are good, when the Tigers are good, they show out for those. I mean, did you hear Tony Dungy before the game? He's like, "I can't remember the last time I was on a field where it was this loud pregame."
I think the one sports town that we can say is not a good sports town is Miami.
Because
even when they're good, they show up late.
They leave early.
I will say Miami, bad sports.
Yeah, when the Marlins have been really good,
they
kind of show up.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on here, guys?
All sports towns are good sports towns if your franchise is competent.
Yeah.
Right?
But
then you will show up and show out. But last night, it was a beatdown, man. And I was, after all those injuries, I was out on the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Then it took me less than 24 hours to hear Dan Campbell's speech.
Be right back
in. And I was right back in. Now, I think I'm more in than ever.
What's crazy is that game, we can talk about it more in detail, was they played that game functionally with one corner, and then they didn't have one corner. And Aaron Glenn just said, "I'm going to send at least six every play. Good luck."
And I don't know how this finishes for the Lions. Like,
can they get healthy enough?
But no, and the answer's probably no, right? The answer to that is probably not. But this story is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I think it says more when you have a team that has the injuries that they have had and they continue to still churn out wins. This is a 15-2 team, right? Like, I bet there is a stretch where you could go through five full seasons maybe of Lions football where they haven't achieved 15 combined wins. They get 5 wins this year. And that to me is, it's not just really good you know, drafting and having superior talent and all that, with the amount of injuries they've had, they developed that talent, mm-hmm. man. And they are doing a phenomenal job of squeezing every ounce out of the talent that they do have. Because what we've talked about is, well, yeah, they've been drafting so high for so long, you know, it's about time. No, they are hitting it out of the ballpark with their draft picks. And then with the other guys on the back end of their roster, they're making them better as they're in Detroit, because that is why they are still winning games in 15-2.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I thought it was pretty interesting, the contrast between how both those rosters were built, though, between the Vikings and the Lions. There's not nearly as much in-house homegrown talent on the Vikings. There's a lot of, I don't want to say mercenaries, but they spent a ton on free agents, but free agents that mattered. Like, you go up and down that roster, yeah, you've got a Harrison Smith, and yeah, you've got a Justin Jefferson, and which, again, two very good players, but you look at both sides of the ball, it's free agents everywhere.
Yeah.
It's free agents everywhere on that team. And it's interesting because normally free agency is not a way that you build your team. But the Vikings were incredibly good and very measured on who they went and got and who they spent money on. And if you look up and down those rosters, if you look at, you know, drafted in-house guys versus out-of-house guys, it's a direct contrast between both those teams, and yet both very successful. And it shows that you don't necessarily have to be a draft and develop team. You can live in both worlds where, you know, there's been this adage, particularly over the last 10 years, of you can't build a team through free agency. Pretty clearly you can.
Yeah, you can, but at the same time, your core has got to be guys that that you do draft and develop.
Sure.
Right?
Which, like, again, Harrison core. Smith, Justin Jefferson, like, you know,
yeah.
Big-time players. Yes.
They are.
But also, their two best pass rushers aren't.
No, they're not. No, and they, like, there's certain places that you can go and you can do that, and they didn't do it at quarterback either, which is one of the positions that you probably should. But they do have their shortcomings, and a lot of people out on Sam Darnold now after last night, saying he was just so atrocious. He was seeing ghosts again. We're out on Sam Darnold. I'm not. I just think that Lions team last night, Dan Campbell knows how to push their buttons, and in no way, shape, or form was Sam Darnold good last night. I mean, he was seeing ghosts, right? It did look like New York Jets Sam Darnold. And I don't think that is a big game issue with Sam Darnold. They're 14-3. They've played some really good teams so far this year, and they've come out on the good side of it. I think that was more of that offense of the Detroit Lions. When they decide they're going to put a drive together, it's like football porn.
It's the Ides of March.
They run the ball right down your throat. They will. Jared Goff is so good when they have those methodical drives of picking and choosing his shots. They had the longest play of the night was 23 yards offensively for them. So it wasn't like they were just killing you with chunk plays down the field.
Was that the Gibbs play?
No, that was Amon-Ra.
Oh, okay.
I was talking passing play. So yeah, Gibbs had a 47-yard run. Yeah. But it was like he was just nickel and diming you down the field, and that is your play caller and your quarterback on the same page in the same rhythm. And they had several of those drives for Detroit last night. On the flip side of it, it looked like just something was off with Kevin O'Connell and Sam Darnold. They just couldn't get it rolling, and that's the result that you get. They looked lethargic at times. I'm not out on Sam Darnold or this Vikings team.
No, the team that went 14-3, I don't think you can be out on.
But if you are, and this is where I say no playoff is perfect, right? Everybody is complaining about, you know, Oregon's drawn their tough road as the number one overall seed in the college football playoff. How about if you're the Eagles and you're like, oh, sweet. You know, we get the Packers, right? The Rams won their division. They get a 14-3 team. Guess who the Lions are going to have to play in the next round? Mm-hmm. The Minnesota Vikings for a third time this year.
Good God.
Which that could change some things a little bit. So in the NFC, Lions are your one seed. Eagles are the two seed. Third seed is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because they went to the well and got Mike Evans his bonus and held off the Saints. Four seed is the Rams. They will play the Vikings. The sixth seed is the Commanders, who will go to Tampa Bay to play on the Buccaneers. And then the Eagles host the Green Bay Packers. On the AFC side, Chiefs are the one seed. Bills are the two. Third seed is the Baltimore Ravens. The fourth seed is the Texans, who will host the Chargers on Saturday afternoon. That just seems like a game that fits in my brain. Texans Chargers on a Saturday.
I mean, yeah, I saw somebody post a meme of the Texans being the first game on Wild Card Saturday to play on the NFL channel. You know, kind of a deal. Like, here we go again.
Game's on Nickelodeon. That seems like a game that will be the Nickelodeon game is Texans Chargers. Then the sixth seed is the Steelers. They will go to Baltimore for the Ravens in a rematch of a game, I don't know, we just saw. And then the Bills will host the Denver Broncos because Denver won at home against Kansas City, and those uniforms are sweet. Weren't those uniforms awesome?
Yes.
The Orange Crush Broncos uniforms?
They are good.
That was so good.
I just hate that they are good.
That's a great look.
It is.
Elite.
Look, the NFL, most of their 80s era jerseys are nothing but complete bangers.
Yes. Give me wild card round. I know that it'll never happen because they don't have the throwback road jerseys. Give me the Bills in red helmets. Give me like 1991 Bills versus Broncos uniform matchup where the Broncos are wearing their white road uniforms. Mm-hmm. Bills go back to the red helmet and blue jersey,
the
white
Kelly's.
Pants. Yeah, give that to me.
Yeah, that'd be a good traditional matchup.
Yeah. I think we should go wild card weekend is throwback weekend.
Nothing but throwbacks.
Nothing but throwbacks. Unless you're the Denver Broncos and you go the way throwbacks. Remember when they were in the brown and yellow?
Oh God, yeah, those are bad. And the same with the Packers.
With the vertically striped socks.
The
is
Acme
what they
Packers
had.
Ones, yeah, those are also a train wreck.
We can leave those ones.
Hard pass on those.
70s and 80s only. Give me those throwbacks.